You who is the way, the truth, and the life. Yes, King of Saints, you are the one that has made a way into the very throne room by your blood. Thank you because you are the one that ever lives to make intercession for us. Thank you because you are the good shepherd. Thank you because your grace is our sufficiency. Thank you because you are the one that has paved the way through the heavens. Yes, against all principalities and powers who are subject to you. In that name, upon our lips, in our hearts, upon our lives, in every circumstance, in every situation. So we declare that name, the name of the Jesus, over every area of our lives, to see your kingdom, your dominion come, and your will done. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit, our helper, Paracletus. Thank you, helping us to magnify him, to glorify him. Thank you, helping us to exalt him. Yes, Lord, Holy Spirit, you are the one that even in this place of the word, in the place of sharing, the place of worship, causing the anointing to flow from the head down the bed, even unto us, to break every yoke, the yoke destroying, the burden removing anointing. Thank you for your manifestation of the same, a magnification of the same. Yes, even in this place, above every other thing, any challenge, any matter. Thank you, High Priest, for going ahead of us. Yes, thank you for causing valleys to be filled, mountains and hills to be brought low, crooked places to be made straight, rough places to be plain, so your glory is revealed even in our lives. We honor you, Heavenly Father. We bless you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, Holy Spirit, for there is none like you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Let's take our seats in the presence of the Lord.
There is power, there is power in the name of Jesus.
Praise the Lord. If you believe the chains are going to be broken, burdens are going to be removed, I want you to shout hallelujah and praise the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, yes, truly, there is power in that name. If only we will believe it, and God, by his mercy and grace, will grant us a revelation, so that even in those desperate moments and those times of challenges, you can lift up your voice and declare that name over that situation, in every challenge, over that challenge, and see truly that there is power in that name. In the name of Jesus, we thank God that because in that name we have life, in that name we have strength, in that name we have power, in that name we have revelation, we have light, we have success, we have victory, we have transformation, we have healing, we have salvation. That is what, you know, he came to get for us, and that's what he said. He said, you go in my name, go in that name, you know, and by his mercy and grace, that's what we're going to do in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I'd like to turn to your neighbor, you know, somebody in your left, somebody in your right, somebody in your front or at your back. Say, you're welcome to Zion's Fellowship. Another beautiful Friday, the last Friday of the month of August. Can you imagine again? Hallelujah. I like that shout. And that's the 8th month going. In the next 24 hours, you're going to enter the 9th month, and you'll enter the final quarter of this year, 2024. It's not just like that, you know. It's by the mercy and the grace of God. We don't take it for granted. And so we'll quickly go through the word, because we also want to have a time of interaction, you know, discussing and sharing amongst ourselves the things that we have learned in the past 1 month. If you have questions, contributions, well, let's quickly run through what we have for today, just concluding the Ruth matter and about the Ruth company. And so let's just bow our heads. Father, we just thank you again for this time of sharing the word. We don't take it for granted. Thank you for the covering of the fathers. Thank you for the anointing, the head, Christ Jesus. Thank you, Light God of heaven, for causing the same anointing upon the head to flow freely, Lord, unto us. Lord, because prayers have gone ahead, ministrations have gone ahead, preparing us for this season, and your presence is here. Thank you because you're with us. Your Holy Spirit is there to guide us, to lead us in the way we should go. Thank you, most importantly, for the transforming work that you're going to do in the name of Jesus. And as his word goes forth, Lord, we will cause us to hear, to hearken, to understand. Lord, we will take heed how we hear. Lord, by your mercy and grace, it will percolate into our hearts. Lord, it will germinate and bring forth fruit in the name of Jesus. It will not be stolen away. Rather, O Lord God, and it will not, O Lord God, be swallowed up, O Lord God, through trials and tribulations and temptations, but rather it will wax stronger and grow greater, bringing forth fruits that will transform, that will edify, that will also, O Lord God, touch hearts and lives of other people around us, making impact in our community, Lord God, amongst our brethren, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, King of Saints, because you will go forth by this word, Lord, to go and flow like rivers of living water, to go like a sharp sword, cutting deep into our hearts, Lord, bringing healing, bringing strength, uprooting that which is not of you, planting that which is of you, establishing your will, your dominion, your communion, fellowship, Lord God, greater knowledge and understanding, counsel of you, Lord, help, strength, Lord, healing, provision above all, salvation of the soul. For the end of our faith is the salvation of our soul, that we will receive this word, Lord, this engrafted word, with meekness. And it will save our souls, saving us to the uttermost, to bring healing to our bodies, resources and financial, Lord God, Father, increase where is needed, and above all, Lord God, taking us from where we are to where we ought to be, in that place of growth and maturity, bringing forth much fruit to the praise and glory of your name and blessing of mankind. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And so we cast out every spirit of distraction in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to welcome you again to Zion City Fellowship, a campus outreach from our Scripture Pastor Christian Center, pastored by our wonderful parents, Pastor Luby Johnson. And happy birthday to Mommy Sarah Luby Johnson. Let's give a clap of unto the Lord for her. We thank God for bringing her into the 64th year. And we continue to pray that by His mercy and grace she will live, she will not die, she will live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. 64 is 8 times 8, right? I know 8 is new beginnings, you know, and so 2 is witness. You know, the Bible says, mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, you know, the word of God is established. And so we believe that in the name of Jesus, that name, you know, that nothing has power against. And so we say it in faith together, that she will experience new beginnings in the name of Jesus. And it won't just be words or nice words or nice revelation, it will be a reality, Lord, and everybody will see it together, because the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So let's quickly run through, you know, in the next few minutes by His mercy and grace, the book of Ruth. Last week we spoke about Ruth being a type for us to follow. You know, the Bible actually says in one part, I think in Ruth chapter 3, where Boaz was commending her. She said, "Thou art a virtuous woman." You know, when you read Proverbs 31, woman looks like, sometimes it looks abstract, and you're wondering, she says that, quote and unquote, says, there are no women like her, so to speak, you know. But right in the same Bible, it tells us it's now graphical, it's no more abstract, because the virtuous woman is a variable. Like I said, the president of America today, the president of America is Joe Biden. By the time it's December, it's going to be somebody else. Do you understand? So that word president is a variable. If I say X plus Y is equals to 2, X and Y are what? They are variables, because X and Y can be 1 plus 1, right? Are we together? So the virtuous woman is deliberately made a variable, because it can be you, it can be me, Jonas, it can be anybody. And so you can fit into it if you do the necessary things and you need to do. So if you look into the book of Ruth chapter 3, you see that Ruth was actually called and labeled a virtuous woman. That's very rare in the Bible. So peradventure you're looking for somebody graphical to follow before you think that you're going to be the first and only virtuous woman in the world. Forget so, you're not the first and only. There are people that have been, and that you can actually follow their example. So in Ruth chapter 3, if you can find it, I know I saw it and I highlighted it somewhere. Boaz commending Ruth said, yes, Ruth 3:11, in case you want to mark it. And in case you're thinking that, oh, like I said, you know, that kind of thought comes to our mind sometimes, and we think that it's only me and I can be the first. You know, there are people that have gone ahead of you, may no lie. You know, let's not deceive ourselves. There are people that we can follow. And so that's why Ruth is a beautiful and perfect example. And I like the fact that you might not want to relate with Ruth because of her past, but I like, God is so good. Peradventure, there are people that their past is like Ruth the Moabitess, to show that God is not dealing with perfect people, He's dealing with really imperfect people to make them perfect. Listen to me. He's dealing with people that their state was, you know, there are guys that are in the world. The Bible says they have sheep that are not of this fold. And that's why we're going on an outreach tomorrow by His grace and mercy. And I want many people to join us and to be a part of this. You know, we're going to be talking about it by the end of the fellowship. We've done it in Poly, so I think UI also deserves it by His grace and mercy. Are we together? And so you've got guys like that and girls like that, that their past is might be in quotes and unquotes, nothing to write home about, you know. And even us, you know, you might have some issues and challenges and habits that you feel that, oh, you know, I can't even discuss this matter. And so that's how Ruth's life was. And that's what God really likes to deal with, to bring people that are in that impure state into a place of purity and sanctification and virtue. You know, so if we can say that Ruth is a virtuous woman, and yes, she's spiritual, as you get to see. She's industrious when she went to the Boaz's farm, you know, and she's generous because she wasn't looking after herself. She was always looking for out for her mother-in-law. It wasn't fake. It wasn't because she wanted something. The woman really didn't have anything much, you know, but the woman had wisdom and counsel. And you can't exchange anything for that. That's why, you know, you must have spiritual mentors and fivefold ministries that you must connect with in this end time, especially when you're in university, you know, and college and poly. You know, you have a fivefold ministry you have ties with spiritually, you know, that are pumping life and wisdom and counsel into your life and into your heart. And so, you know, in Ruth chapter 1, we said Ruth is an acronym for R.U.T.H, and chapter 1 talks about returning unto him. The story and the main characters of this book of Ruth, you have Boaz. Say Boaz. Boaz is a type of the Lord Jesus. He's our kinsman redeemer. It's all about him. It's all about Christ. It's all about Jesus. Say it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. So, and he's our example, especially for the men also. You know, you can also glean wisdom, because there are many things in the book of Ruth. Yes, it has the spiritual typologies and prophetic typologies that we must, and spiritual typologies that are primary, but it also has things that you can glean and learn with regards to relationships. From single, Ruth's life was reset. You know, she was married, but it's just like things fall apart. Things do not fall apart for us in Jesus' name. You know, things have already fallen apart because Adam fell. Do you understand? And so, you can now see where she was reinstated. Ruth got born again. Orpah turned back. And we said Orpah means turning back. And she fulfilled it negatively. You know, but she could have turned her back on the world. And that's what God wants us to do. To always turn our back on the world. Turn your back on challenges and temptations and trials, you know, and lusts, you know, and these things that seem to draw us and try to gravitate against us or pull us down. And so, Ruth opens her mouth, doesn't just cry, because people cry when there's a stronger message, where they don't change. And then Ruth didn't just kiss. Orpah cried and turned back. Ruth cried and kissed, but that was not enough. It's not enough to cry and then hear the word and say it's nice and kiss the word and love the pastor and love the message and love the church, but not do anything about it. But then Ruth also clung and then opened her mouth. The Bible says salvation comes by confession and believing in your heart. And she said that where you die, I will die. Where you are buried, you will be buried. Your God will be my God. You understand? So that is a type of born again for us. And so you see, this story is, you can bring your life and dump it directly on top of that story and begin to see it fulfilled, you know, in the life of Ruth. And so, you know, last week there was something I said, and I think I need to emphasize, I need to maybe correct, or let us get the understanding that everything we are talking about, they are spiritual states. When you say Moab, like Moab, the meaning of Moab is of the father, not God the father, is of the father, because Moab was born because Lot had incest with his daughter. And so they named it Moab. They were also Amorites, you know, so of the father. And so many of us have a nature that is born of the old nature of our fathers. Do you understand? The behavior of our fathers. So when I'm talking about Moab is actually a state. It's a spiritual state. So you can be in Nigeria, you can be in a good church like this and be in Moab. May I not lie to you? Do you understand? Another person can be in UK
in England, I'll be listening to the word online consistently, I'll be practicing the word, and not be in Moab. So Moab has nothing to do particularly with a physical state. It's a spiritual state that always reproduces in your behavior or in your character, your attitude, in one's behavior, and ultimately in one's environment. It can lead to disobedience, and a person can now change the environment. Right, listen to me. So let's get that straight. That first and foremost, every time we're talking about these things, is first a spiritual state, not just a physical state. Right, listen to me. Are we together? And so if God is saying that, God is telling you something and you're disobeying, then you see yourself making moves that you're not supposed to make physically. But first and foremost, this thing starts from the heart. And you see, there's one place in the book of, I wrote it down, but I'm not sure where I studied. But it's in the Old Testament. It says that Moab has been the same since her youth. And the reason why I liked that was, if you can find it, the reason why I liked that about when it defined Moab, when the scripture is defining scripture, is that it says that Moab has been the same from her youth. So a Moabite doesn't start when the person is an adult. It starts from a state, from childhood, from being in a youth, from our youth, young adolescence. That behavior, that spiritual state, where we need to change. It says that Moab does not want to change, and she has been the same like that from her youth. And so, back to the characters. Then we have Naomi. Naomi is supposed to be like a fivefold ministry. Supposed to be a... Okay, yeah, look at it. Jeremiah 48:11. It says, Moab has been at ease from his youth, and he has settled on his lees, and has not been emptied from vessel to vessel. Neither has he gone into captivity. Therefore, his taste remained in him, and his sense is not changed. What is the summary of that scripture? The person don't like change. Could like to change. He doesn't want to grow. She doesn't want to grow. You know, she loves, or he loves, his present state. And when he's supposed to repent and change, the person doesn't want to change. And you can see that was what happened to Orpah. She didn't want to change her state, or the land that she was staying, where she was. You understand what I'm saying? So you can see Moab defined here, and the word youth is mentioned. The word doesn't want to be emptied from vessel to vessel. May nobody disturb me. These things that they are teaching, you know, do you really, is it things that I think is it this difficult? Is it this, do you need to really do all this? Does this really require all this? And he has gone into captivity, and that has led the person to captivity, and that state of captivity, to immaturity and laziness, and not wanting to do. And his taste or her taste has remained in him the same way the person was 2020 has been the same spiritually, not much changes, you know, and his scent has not changed. Anyway, Moab is not our focus. And so they leave Moab, she gets born again for us as New Testament Christians. Because, see, when I read the Old Testament, I want to see how it makes sense to me. So it's not just the information and history. You know, what is the correlation as a New Testament person? What is God trying to tell me, you know, through the Old Testament? Because the whole Bible, no jot or tittle will fall without it being fulfilled. And the law is going to be fulfilled. Do you understand? And so everything that you read in the Old Testament, by the time you bring your New Testament understanding into it, it shines light. And then you see what is in code. It now becomes a reality and something that helps you to grow in God. And so they come to Ruth chapter 2, where they leave Moab in barley harvest. And that's, again, I need to correct that. That's the time of, we said there are three harvests. There's barley, which is the first one. There's wheat, which is the second one. Then there is wine, grapes, which is the third one. Are we together? In Israel today, that's how they celebrate. So they don't celebrate New Year like you celebrate New Year. They don't celebrate Easter like you celebrate Easter. You know, the New Testament Jews do that. But we have observed that Easter, and God is one that did it. Easter falls in Passover. So you see again, New Testament, God did not throw away Old Testament. He made sure that New Testament fits inside the Old Testament and fulfilled, that's the word, it's fulfilled the Old Testament. So Old Testament is like glove. I listen to me. Your hand, New Testament, is the hand that enters the glove, and it fills it fully. It fulfills it. So anybody that is telling you that Old Testament is Jesus, the person no understand. You understand? And the person is not telling you complete truth. because Old Testament is the glove that the New Testament must fill fully. Are we together? And that's why you and me are going to have to do the same kind of works that Moses did, Daniel did. I've not seen so many people like Daniel that are 10 times better than their peers. It's rare, especially amongst Christians. And so there are many things in the Old Testament that we still need to fulfill fully as New Testament saints. Are we together? And so in Ruth chapter 2, there's a revival amongst them, because they now heard that there is there is bread, Bethlehem, Judah, bread and praise. You know, they returned to bread and praise. You know, and Ruth, some reason Ruth supernaturally falls in the ministry of Boaz, in the farm of Boaz. It's God. And that's why the Spirit comes down. That's why praying in the Spirit, God makes all things work together for your good. Do you understand? She didn't plan it. She didn't know she was going to marry him. She didn't know him. You know, all she was doing was following a Naomi. A Naomi is a spiritual oversight. People with deep counsel, spiritual counsel, that will feed you instructions that you can't get yourself, because you've not been that way before. Observe that it's their own land. It's her land. She knows what's up. She knew about the kinsman. You see in Ruth chapter 3, she begins to give the girl some detailed instruction, you know, that the girl could never have gotten. Now listen to me. And because the girl was humble, that's another a major character of Ruth. The girl was humble and she wasn't faking it. You can't fake true humility. There's false humility and there's true humility. And so Ruth gets into this ministry, into this land, and in that ministry, I wanted to give you a homework plastic, but I think I forgot. God just saved you. You know, when Ruth, the Bible says her harp fell. There are ministries, you know, there are many ministries, but her harp, just like you and me, our harp has fallen in Zion City, which is under this beautiful ministry that God has raised Pastor Mommy to be. The Bible says, and there was a set man. Boaz is a type of Jesus, and the Bible says that he rode into the farm. But before he rode into the farm, there were some characteristics in that farm. There were reapers. There were reapers in the farm. And if we go into New Testament, the Bible says that in the end time, God is going to reap the harvest. That the world is the field, the farm, the field. And that there are going to be reapers. Reaper is evangelism, is outreach. Do you understand what I'm saying? So in that ministry, they have people that love outreach. They go out. They like to reach out to people. They are not just to themselves. They are not just me, myself, and I. I just love this word. It's only me that should enjoy it. That guy may just continue in his destruction. You understand? They love people. They love to reach out to people. They love to share the word with people. And that's what you're going to do tomorrow. Are you right? So that's one major characteristic. Another characteristic in that place was that there was a set man. This is how Boaz spoke to the man that was set over that place. That's a pastor. Are you listening to me? That's a pastor. So if you look through, that's the assignment I actually wanted to give you. That you should look at, you should look for the fivefold ministry in that chapter 2. So you can see that in chapter 2, close to church, Ruth is under a beautiful, a blessed ministry where Christ, the presence of Christ is. Jesus rides into that church. And you know what Jesus does? He speaks. In that church, Jesus speaks. Speaking is prophecy, is the gift of the Spirit. There's preaching, there's teaching. Do you understand? You've seen evangelism. Now there's preaching, there's teaching, there's prophecy. And then you know what he says? He says, the Lord bless you. So in that church, they always bless one another. And it's good that in Zion City, the first thing we say when we turn to each other, he says, God bless you. How's your week? How's your month? You know, you're a kind person. You're not some cold-hearted, blunt, wicked, dark-minded, you know, stingy, greedy human being. Forgive me, I just had to paint this like that. But they say, the Lord bless you. You have to go and read it. So I'm doing your homework for you. In Ruth chapter 2. It was paining me when Pastor was preaching. But I said, I should have given these guys to go and read Ruth chapter 3. But it have paid you. It would have paid you, because everything I'm saying, you'll now be getting interpretation of what you read that maybe you didn't understand before. But this one, as I'm saying it, you're liking it, but I don't know whether it's sticking, because you might be thinking I'm lying. But you need to go and read it yourself. But because of time, that's why I'm just giving you, you just gotta read it yourself. So Ruth chapter 2, she goes to church. Boaz comes in. So in that church, they always exalt Jesus. It's not man they exalt. Because it's all about Jesus. Are you listening to me? It's all about Jesus, so. It's all about Jesus. Because there is a mistake many times in fellowships and in church where is the man of God or the woman of God or the boy of God or the girl of God, you know, or the minstrel. You know, different things that we magnify, or the saxophonist or the drummer. There are many things we begin to magnify, you know, in these days. And we need to be very careful because the Bible says that when we praise and worship God, He is, what's his name? He inhabits the praise of His people. I listen to me. And again, He must be exalted that He may draw men unto Himself. If you check, if you are very honest, you find out that these days, like Paul was saying, someone will say I'm of Peter, someone will say I'm of Paul, someone will say I'm of Apollo, say, oh, come on, guys, it's about Christ. And many times we fall into that trap in our hearts. We might not say it to our mouth, but we fall into that trap in our hearts. Now, I'm not saying that you should follow anybody and everybody. You need to be careful again, you know, but people that are following Christ, there doesn't have to be any competition amongst Christians. This is what should be magnified. And I see Christ talked about less, and the men and women and ministries talked about more. You know, and then on social media, following this ministry, or following that ministry, is that pastor, but we've forgotten that it's really the Christ. You know, and many of the pastors also, many times, mistakenly don't magnify and talk about Jesus that much again. And so if you check Ruth is about Boaz and Ruth and Naomi. Do you understand what I'm saying? But really, let me tell you, it's about Ruth marrying Boaz and reproducing a generation that is going to birth the Christ. So you know that your destiny in Christianity is to marry Jesus. Boaz is wealthy. Boaz has all that she needs. Jesus is wealthy. He has all that you can ever need. And you see, Boaz commended Ruth that you did not go to another farm. You did not seek another man, a younger man. You sought a mature man. And you did not go to another farm or just wander around where they can rape you. And there are many ministries, you know, that are raping Christians and fleecing them, you know, of money, you know, fleecing them, you know, and cheating them and lying to them and not telling them the complete truth, you know, that is not making people grow or reproduce the Christ or marry Christ. I listen to me. See, when I say this thing, you need to begin to scan. We need to scan our lives and check our state and where we are and where we go, you know, and test it. The Bible says test every spirit. And so, Ruth chapter 2, you see that those fivefold ministries are made manifest. There's a pastor, and they tell her, they give her good counsel, don't go to another farm, stay where you are, glean here. They drop things. And then Boaz, a very wise man, they like the girl, you know, and he has seen good in her by revelation. And he tells the set man, he says, to be dropping things for her so she can have something to take home, you know, to her mother-in-law and to feed her. And Boaz says that I've heard good about you. You know, so your life as like a Ruth must be pure. It must be evidence of Christ. It must be something that people can talk about. If they come to me and ask about you, you know, I must say, that guy, he prays, he comes to church, he's in this activity group. I should be able to talk about you, but if I don't know you, you know, I can't attest to you, there's a problem. Oh, I listen to me. So you look into the life of Ruth and you see that she's born again, and that thing is already growing in her. And the Bible says that she was there. She didn't leave. What a good girl. Clap for Ruth. You know, she didn't leave that place even to the end of the harvest. She stayed there. And whatever she got, she took back to her mother-in-law. And her mother-in-law said that, look, I will make sure that you are blessed, and I will seek good for you. And started counseling her. And so let's go to Ruth 3. We'll just quickly summarize Ruth 3. Ruth 4 is simple. We know where we are going. We want to marry Boaz. We want to marry Boaz and give birth to a generation Christ in our lives, in our own life first. We want to be conformed to the image of Christ. We want Christ to be formed in us. When you marry somebody, the Bible says to become what? To become what? One. Is union. Then things begin to happen. They begin to fellowship. It's not just fellowship. There's intimacy. They know each other. They are naked to each other. They are one. Are you listening to me? And then the birth. There's reproduction. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's fruit in character. there's change and transformation. And everything that Boaz has becomes yours. Now listen to me. And so, in Ruth chapter 3, major verses I just want to talk about is Naomi is very, very important in this story, because that's why you must be hooked to a Naomi. You know, irrespective of the imperfections, but the most important thing is the fivefold anointing upon Naomi. God has not taken it. He's a matured person, mature oversight. They themselves are going on to perfection. They know what's up spiritually. They know what you ought to do, how you ought to do it, and the instructions that they give is probably the most important thing that is her life. And so in Ruth chapter 3, I title Ruth chapter 3, Reaching Unto Him. Say, reaching unto him. So we've seen return to him, return unto him. We've seen revived unto him. She gets baptized in the Holy Spirit. She's under a faithful ministry of Boaz that exalts and magnifies Boaz, that has fivefold anointing. She is connected to Naomi, you know, an oversight beyond church, you know, still practicing the instruction of Naomi on a daily basis, relating and fellowshipping with her, you know, and not really her. It's like the kind of Holy Spirit through instruction, you know, communion and fellowship with God, you know, and obeying oversight. And so when you obey them, because there's an anointing upon them, there's an anointing in you that you're going to use to practice the instruction that they give you. There's an anointing upon a mature pastor and fellowship pastor or oversight that flows from the head down, do you understand, and gets to you. And then the anointing in you helps you to practice what they tell you. Do you understand? So it's not just the anointing within. Don't, again, let anybody lie to you, because in 1 John, it says there's an anointing within that teaches you all things. And then you think that that is sufficient for you. No. That will not carry you far. There's an anointing upon that you need to combine the anointing within to make you anointed fully. Do you understand? To make you what you ought to be. To make you to be able to fulfill and end up marrying Boaz. So in Ruth chapter 3, which we title this movie, we title this particular movie or this particular part, Reaching Unto Him. And you see where she reaches unto him and then she reproduces unto him. So in Ruth 3:1, then Naomi her mother-in-law said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest or security or husband or family for you, that it may be well with you? First and foremost, have a positive impression of your oversight or your pastors or the teachers or the fivefold ministry and the instruction that they are given, you know, when it comes to things like prayer, you know, guidance, you know, counsel, revelation of the word, you know, beyond what you know. First, trust. You need to trust that these people, their thoughts towards you are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And that's what Naomi has manifested. And so you seek that in fivefold ministries and teachers and pastors, you know, that you are following, and oversight. So she tells him something that she did not know. That Boaz that you told me about, that you said you met in Ruth chapter 2 in revival unto him, that Boaz, our kinsman redeemer. Now she didn't know that. So she now starts telling him, and that's for you girls and guys again, especially when it comes to, by the time it's your penultimate year, you start to pray about issue of marriage, life partner, you can start doing that in your penultimate year, you know, when you're getting close, you know, to finishing school. You know, I remember Pastor saying that, that's why it has stuck to me. In your penultimate year, you can start praying about that once in a week. Your eyes are closed. Trust me. There won't be any distraction. God will approve it and remove it. Do you understand? If the guy is still later, after NYSC, at least you've started praying. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So, bump, there was no talk about relationship. Now, I'm talking about that you're quiet. And so, she begins to tell her, that Boaz is their kinsman redeemer. And these are the instructions that are critical. She says, wash yourself therefore. Say, wash yourself therefore. Ruth 3:3. Wash yourself therefore. In Ephesians chapter 6 verse 26, what does it mean? Or let's first read it, then we'll now quickly interpret. Wash yourself therefore, anoint yourself, put on your best garments, and get thee down to the floor, but make not yourself known unto the man until he has eaten and drunk. And so, wash yourself therefore, what does it mean? In Ephesians 6:26 says that by the washing of the water by the word. That means that if you want to get into deeper relationship with Boaz, a type of Christ, and ultimately a Christ man that you will marry, and be a virtuous woman like Ruth. You can now see that the features are beginning, they are beginning to form, you know, and getting a bit more. And you want all those things, you must wash yourself. The Bible says that washing of the water by the word, Ephesians 5:26. You must get into the word. You must listen to the word. The undiluted word. Not just any word. Not just word that is always about promise, but not about any conditions. It's always about crown, but not about cross. You don't want those kind of words. Those are half, those are diluted words. Those are adulterated words. Do you understand? You want to get into, you want to wash yourself. Bible says, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness and the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 7:1. So getting into the word in by Ephesians 5:26 will help you to wash yourself. So you need to get into the word. Bible reading, study, meditation. I always tell you, they are saying yoga in the world. We have always had meditation in the Bible, but many people prefer yoga to even meditating because it requires discipline. Are you listening to me? So the next thing that she tells him, tells her, is anoint yourself. We know that there is, like I've told you, 1 John 2 talks about anointing within and anointing upon. The Bible says that in the upper room, they had what? They had what? What did they have upon them now? Tongues of fire. And what happened? They spoke in tongues. Anoint yourself means you need to pray in the spirit. So you first wash yourself. There is a part of the word that the word is going to play in your life. You want to be a Ruth, a virtuous woman. You want to be attracted and be able to marry Boaz. That's what Naomi was telling her. It still applies to you and me at this time. Or you want to have a godly man to be able to marry like a Boaz. Wash yourself, get used to engaging in the word, fellowshipping in the word, getting revelation, understand the word, listening to the word, or being under a ministry that speaks the undiluted word. Anoint yourself, be a person that is regular praying in the spirit, praying in tongues. Are you listening to me? Anoint yourself. The now says, put on your best raiment. What does that mean? The Bible tells us in Romans 13:14, it says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh. Put on your whole armor. Ephesians chapter 6. It's because of time that I'm having to run through this. Ephesians chapter 6 says, put on the whole armor. So you can see, like, in the Old Testament, Naomi was given an instruction of what to put on. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is telling us what to put on. Put off the old man and its bad habits, and put on the new man, which is fashioned in the image and likeness of God. It says, put on bowels of love, bowels of mercy. Put on love, which is a bond of perfection. So you are seeing key words, even of instructions that we are supposed to be practicing at this time. All the scriptures, you'll find them in Romans 13:14, Colossians 3:8-14, of what to put off on a daily basis to get attracted to Boaz. What to put on a daily basis to get attracted to Boaz. What, and not rub and shine. You know that kind of 2 minute bit that people do, especially in Harmattan. You know, I served in Plateau and it was very cold. You do rub and shine, oh, for many people because it's very cold. As you're pouring the water, the water you have to warm. The water in the well is warm. Or when it is afternoon, when the sun is out, even though that sun is not really hot, you know, you just quickly pour the water in the bowl and quickly run into the bathroom. But I observe that as the water just touches your body like this, it's always cold. So I just start singing. That's the entire. In fact, if you hear the kind of songs, that's when songs just begin to. You have to look for something to distract yourself, or you won't take your bath. Because I remember, I shouldn't tell you this, but I remember landing in Plateau on a Tuesday night. And I must tell you, I did not take my bath until Saturday night. I was not encouraged in any way to, one, buy water, two, go and take my bath. I had to do clearance and everything. So anybody that is going to Plateau now, I just smile and I say, well, make sure you take your garments. So, you know, my grandma just came from Israel that time. She brought gloves and jackets. And so the way you dress there, you know, is, you wear your singlet, you wear your t-shirt, the copper shirt, you wear the normal shirt, then you wear sweater, then you now wear the overall, and then you wear the hoodie, and then you have your gloves. And I can't pray in the midst of 25, 30, 40 guys in a room. You know, I have to wake up a great while before day. These things, I was practicing them a great while by 4 a.m. because the beagle is going to wake you up by 5. You understand? And so I know where I'm facing. I remember I'm standing and I'm praying, you know, and I'm praying, standing, praying in the spirits, travailing, you know, and God kept me on. I was let you know. I had a great time, you know, and I impacted by His grace and mercy lives. But I'll let you know that as I'm praying, that cold wind is blowing through your ears. And they are talking to somebody on phone. I was like, "What are you doing here?" He says, "It's the wind in plateau," you know. And so, why did I go there? I'm just trying to say that it's not rub and shine. She had to wash, scrub. You need to scrub the sin nature, the dirt from our body. Sin is in our body. The old man is dead. The new man must be renewed. Our mind must be renewed. Our thinking must be renewed according to the new man, the born again spirits. Because the mind is still thinking the old way. The body is still behaving the old way. And the old man is dead. And so you have to renew and reprogram the mind and retrain the physical body to align with what the spirit is believing, that by His stripes you are healed, that you can go on and grow up into perfect growth, become more like Jesus. You can do the works that He did. You can be at least 10 times better than your peers. You can be mighty. You can do extraordinary miracles. You know, you can impact lives, you know. So anoint yourself, perfume yourself, especially for those of you that don't believe in wearing perfume. Perfume yourself, anointing within, pray in the spirit, and remain connected wherever you are. That's why when people go for IT from Zion City Fellowship, or go for NYC, or graduate from Zion City Fellowship, we say remain connected, or travel abroad, we say remain connected. There's technology, you will have no excuse. Remain connected. So especially when you believe that a ministry is a Boaz ministry, a ministry is a Naomi ministry, a ministry is an anointed ministry that will grow you into maturity and perfection, that will make sure this sin nature is totally cleansed out. Because sin is terrible, guys. Sin, a man can get to the top, but the sin nature that he hasn't dealt with, the thing still looks for a way to try and rear its head. That's why the best thing to do is to not just dominate it, seek to dominate it. The primary thing you must seek to do in your life is to dominate it and to cleanse it out. Because in this end time, a Christian that does not get rid of that thing is going to be a loophole that Satan will always seek to use. Because Satan is a defeated enemy, but he knows that there is an insider that he can try and use to pull down people. That's why you must always know that your primary enemy is not poverty. Your primary enemy is not sickness. Your primary enemy is not men. Your primary enemy is the sin nature. You must hate sin the way you hate sickness, the way you hate poverty, the way you hate failure, the way you hate bad government, the way you hate whatever you hate. Hate sin the same way. Then Satan will know that, he needs to tread softly. This guy has finally found the solution. And so she tells her, wash yourself, anoint yourself. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Psalms 133, 1 to 3 says, the anointing upon the head that flows down the beard to everyone, like we're singing. 1 John 2, 27, anointing within. Put on your best garments. Romans 13, 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ on a daily basis. Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God. Colossians 3, 8 to 14, put on the new man. And then she tells him, when you get there, mark where he lies. You can see there are some detailed instruction. These are not things that she would have thought. You might she would just have worn jeans, or ragged jeans, or crazy jeans. I said, don't worry, I can't buy. I'll just pose like this. I'll just do catwalk, and the guy will like me. No, the lady told her specifics, and that's how you know an apostolic ministry. Naomi is like an apostolic ministry, you know, that knows detailed instruction, not just general word, but specific to do's that you must do on a daily basis to get this relationship with Christ right, and more and more. And it shall be when he lies down, you will mark the place, the book, the fellowship, the instructions, the ministry, the church, you know, where he lies, where Christ lies. And when you go, time is going. But if you go into Songs of Solomon, you will see that the woman, she begins to say that, I sought my beloved, and I found out where he lies. You know, also when in relationship, you know what the guy likes. If the guy doesn't like the word of God, run away. It's always a jackpot, real jackpot. We'll talk about that later, but you know, because of time, you know. And so she says that, I'm saying that as you are learning spiritual things in this thing, they pick it, I might not be telling you the physical, but we're picking something and putting in your pocket. So we know who Boaz is and the kind of man that you're looking for. Boaz, you too, you're looking for the kind of woman. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Uh-huh. You're looking for Ruth, the virtuous woman that you're looking for, but at least someone that is pursuing. They're not perfect, you are growing into it. Or someone that loves the Boaz, that loves the word, that loves Christ, you know, that is Christ minded. You know, and Boaz is a wealthy guy. Boaz is a well-to-do, he's a hard-working guy, he's industrious spiritually, he's generous, you know, he's spiritual. And so says, mark where he lies, mark what he loves, mark where he dwells, mark where his presence is. His presence is in the word, his presence is in a fellowship like this by his grace and mercy, his presence is in the place of prayer. Mark what Christ loves, and there you shall lie. And you will go in, and the next thing that she says is that you will uncover his feet. Your feet is the way you walk. How did Jesus walk? How did Jesus live? Uncover and master and learn it. See, the Chinese and the Asians, these are kind of things that they use. They will say, you master, Shin Chen, what do they call them? Sensei, you know, sensei. This is the real sensei thing. You will mark how the man walks. The Bible says that he rises up a great while before day. The Bible says that Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7, in the days of his flesh, you are marking the way he lived in the word. So the place he dwells is in the word and amongst people that preach those kind of words. And then you will uncover his feet. How did this man live? Because the man is looking for someone like him. Someone that loves the way he walks. That will not be complaining that this prayer thing itself is too long. Go ahead, sin. I mean, kill Christ. A kind of woman like that will give Christ problem now. Are you listening to me? So you uncover his feet and you master the way he walks, the way he prays, what he loves, the way he wakes up. The Bible says that Mark chapter 1 verse 35, wakes up a great while before day. Like I told you in Plato, I had to do that thing. I'd been doing it since I was in covenant. You know, I was been doing it since I was young. But as I grew and I was away from parents, away from church, that was where exams started. And I found myself having to practice it, or else, let me tell you, the gravity will pull you and you start to do or think things that you never thought you would think. You start to say things you never thought you would say. You start to hang around folks that you never thought you would hang around. And you start to say things against people that you never think you would say things against. That's how the heart of a man declines and degenerates when it is not lying and fellowshipping with Christ. Verse 9. And the man woke up in the middle of the night and was startled. And he says, who are you? Now, it's amazing the way Ruth replied. She had gotten some revelation. She did not reply, Ruth the Moabitess, like she did, Ruth your handmaiden, Ruth your servant, Ruth your handmaiden, your maid servant. She now became a bond servant. She already saw herself bound to this man, loving him. His love, it's not just Ruth your servant. She had uncovered his feet and loved what she saw. Do you understand? And loved to walk in that path, walk in that ways. And then she says, what's the word now? Ruth your servant. I'm going to do as I see. Remember Mary and Martha? Martha jumping around. I like to go to Martha's kitchen a lot, you know. But Mary sits at the where did he sit? At the head, on the shoulder, or on the sofa with him, with her hands around. Is that what Jesus liked? Or on his chest? No, she sat at his feet. No, be so. And when Jesus, so that feet, there's something about that feet. You must sit at the feet of the master. As they would say in Chinese movies and Japanese, feet of the master, sensei, you know, master. They love those kind of things, and we love it. But when it now comes to Christ and replace, you now say, this thing is kind of difficult. What kind of task are you taking us through? But we are the ones that started it. It's Christ that started it. And all the Eastern religions are just trying to copy what is in the Bible. Are you listening to me? So sit at the feet of the master, uncover his feet. Sometimes it takes you coming to church, listening to the word, going on YouTube, you know, Mixlr, and downloading messages that, you know, will bless you and will make you grow and conform you to his image. Because where we are going is his image. And then, sorry, before we get to this, when the mother-in-law told her to do all these things, Ruth did not say, wait till you know this woman, a baby boomer, you're old age, you're not millennial or Gen Z, you're not born in 21st century, you don't know even what we're facing or what we're going through, you know. She didn't say there's a new way to do things. She didn't say that this scripture thing, this Bible thing is old, you know. It doesn't align with our present state, you know, mental, what do they call that thing? Mental health, you know. It doesn't seem to... She said, all that you say, I will do. Are you listening to me? All that you say, I will do. And that's exactly what she did. And you see, to cut the long story short, you need to go and read Ruth chapter 3. And Ruth chapter 4, she marries him. She gives him, he gives her instruction to not let any man see her. You have to be wise. She didn't say, the man don't like me, you know. You know, there are other girls that also like Boaz. He didn't say, start putting it on Facebook or Instagram, you know. I don't get engaged. I start showing my ring, you know. I start posting it and tweeting it and let everybody know. The man said, you know, sometimes you need to calm down, you know. You need to calm down. Ruth was a young person like us. When she calmed down, the blood wasn't bubbling, you know. I don't know. Some people are being, when you get engaged, I don't say you should not share with people. Please don't. But there's a way to do these things, you know. If your blood is cool, you will not have to let even culture do the I do and then let everybody be posting it for you. You understand? Let everybody be sharing that this kind of marriage I like, this kind of home I like, rather than you blowing your trumpet. And so the man tells her, he says that before men wake up, go back home. And then he gives her 6 extra. She had gotten 1 measure of barley when he saw her the last time. I mean, he was liking her. He had revelation that this girl is a good girl. But this time the girl had pleased him. Somebody stayed at his feet and observed and did not perform any worldly way or trying to get a man, you know, just observed the feet neatly, decently and in order, purely, with all purity and decency. You understand? Because she obeyed her mother-in-law. She didn't go the crooked way. And so the man was so impressed and gave her 6 extra. 6 plus 1 is what? 7 is rest. That's what the woman said she wanted to find for her. You understand? 6 plus 1 is 7. 7 is rest. Rest from sin. Rest from all the challenges you've been going through. Rest from things that have been disturbing your mind and your soul. That says, learn of me. Sit at my feet. And you learn of me and you find rest for your what? Soul. The challenges that a man has is not in just the external, it's not the external thing, it's really in the soul. If you have peace that passes all understanding in your soul, there might be things happening all around. There might be economic challenges, but you still stay to God, true to Him. And what you need will be downloaded in due time. Are you listening to me? Impatience possesses your soul, the Bible says. And so he gives her 7, 6 plus 1, which he gets the full measure with the veil that she brought, you know, in all humility. Observe, she told her to lie down. That's humility. You know, bow down when you get there. Stay at his feet. That's worship. That's humility. That's reverence for God. That's respect in your relationship with God. And then go at a time that no man sees. That's waking up early to pray. You understand? The Bible says that Jesus woke up a great while before day when it was still dark. That's when I used to wake up in plateau. I was forced to do those things. Because by the time it's 5, the noise is out, the soldiers are out, you are forced to be on the field. There's no other time to do your prayers. The other ones you can do are not effective. The kind of human beings you meet from different parts of Nigeria, you know, that will aggravate you and can provoke you. And the kind of challenges. And then, you know, if you don't start praying about your primary assignment, you know, they'll just dump you in one village that they don't care about you. Are you listening to me? So it's in the night that you configure things. When boys are sleeping, they're talking nonsense into the air. You've already prevailed. When they are awakening, you're just laughing with everybody and just smiling at everybody. And then Ruth chapter 4, that's reproducing unto him. She marries him. And like Pastor was saying beautifully, you know, there was another man there that would have been Orpah's husband, but there was no Orpah, and the guy said he wasn't doing. So Boaz was the one that married Ruth, and guess what? Ruth got married to Boaz. They lived happily ever after. She gave birth to Obed, who gave birth to Jesse, who gave birth to David, who ultimately, from where Joseph and Mary came, and who had the Christ Jesus. So the destiny is to be conformed, to grow up into him in all things, to be a part of the lineage that will birth the Christ, that will precipitate his coming, the rapture. Right, listen to me, that will cause Christ to be glorified on the earth. You know what women said when they saw Naomi? They said that this Ruth is better than seven men, seven sons to you. This Ruth, the whole essence, your destiny, when you're born again, you're not married to Christ, so you're just a virgin. And you can be a wise virgin or a foolish virgin. And then you grow. You mark him. That's how to mark, oh. I'm not teaching you anything. But that's how she marked. She marked him. And then she married him. And then she reproduced for him. And from that unregenerated state, she became part of the lineage of Christ. And so in my Bible reading yesterday, or whether it's today, last or yesterday, I was reading about Matthew chapter 1, and as I was talking about the genealogy of the Christ, I saw Rahab. And along the way, I saw who? Ruth. And at the end, I saw Christ. So, wherever state you are, Moab state, from Moabite state, you come to Bethlehem, Judah, and ultimately you marry Christ and reproduce Christ in your soul, in your body, that will manifest him and will do miracles, because that's what Christ did. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. And so, I promised us interaction. I know it's already 6:30, but we can do like 5-10 minutes of interaction. 5-10 minutes of interaction. Questions. Let's be fast. Let's be quick. You know, contributions, questions, challenges. Contributions, questions, challenges. CQC.
Okay, so I have a contribution or a comment. Can we put up this, I don't know the scripture in detail. It says, counsel in the heart of a man is as deep waters, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Something like that. Can we get that up, please? Okay, thank you. So Proverbs 20 verse 5 says, counsel in the heart of a man is like deep waters, but a man of understanding will draw it out. So when Pastor Lalu was speaking, and Pastor has also identified this, it's important that we maintain an attitude of honesty and humility to be able to receive some certain wisdom and instruction that God has given to people. And the way God has done it is, unless you get it from that person, you might not get it anywhere else. So it's important that whoever it is, whichever idea or perception that you already have about that person, always maintain an honest and a humble attitude. Because even in their own imperfections, God has given them some instructions that you would need. And unless you have that is an understanding heart. That's the definition. When you have a heart that is able to quickly receive instruction, to a heart that is able to quickly align, you know, your will with the will of God, that's an understanding heart. So it might not even be planned. When you meet that person, because your heart attitude is already open, immediately whatever they're saying, you're going to receive that counsel, just as Naomi was able to just as Ruth was able to receive counsel from Naomi. And I really believe that Naomi, but the transition that she made to Bethlehem, Judah, was able to get her to that position where she was able to receive wisdom from God. But I also believe that because of Ruth's hard attitude, God intentionally made sure that wisdom came for Ruth to be able to fulfill her destiny. Thank you.
Praise God. That's very good. That's very good. So that's why when you have a relationship with God, the Bible says there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. And when you are praying, irrespective of the people that you meet, that's why when I pray many times, I talk about my interaction in the course of the day, because I know I'm going to meet people. I talk about my relationship in the course of the day, because I'm going to meet people. And God moves in the affairs. The Bible says God rules in the affairs of men. And God causes all things to work together for your good. So you can get to that destination and destiny in Christ and position in Christ, you know, where you are fulfilling your purpose and destiny. Everything that has written of you and spoken concerning you, you know, and so you need to have an open heart, like you said. Attitude, the Bible says, determines your altitude. And you never know, you know, this Naomi, I like what she said at the end. That's so securing, because many of us, we need security and assurance because of Ruth's attitude. Observe that it wasn't even Naomi that is part of the genealogy of Jesus, but Ruth is the one that is the genealogy of Jesus. So God must have stirred up the hearts of Naomi. Oh yeah, go back. She heard. And then she took the right step in obedience. I would say, follow him as I follow Christ. And then Naomi had the magnetism, you know, the gravitation, you know, towards the true God, which she had always sought and cried for and longed for in her heart. And there are people around the world like that looking for the true God. And they just need Naomi's. They just need living epistles on the campus that they can say, ah, you know, so there's the fellowship or the church where they are preaching that kind of thing. I want to follow you. I want to go. Where is it? And then you know it. Before you know it, if you're not careful, they will overtake you. Because the first can become last, the last can become first. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Well, attitude matters. Hunger for the right thing, for the taste. Moab, the taste does not change. The scent does not change. But Bethlehem, Judah, Ruth's, their taste changes. Their hunger and thirst is for the true God, for righteousness, for Boaz. You know, to become like Jesus, conform to his image. Part of their prayers on a daily basis, keeping to the instructions of the path of life. You know, and see what happens to her at the end. Any more? Let's take 2-3 more. Hurry. After this, I'm hearing Ruth. So I want 2 Boazes. Oh yeah, after this.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much for that enriching word. Sir, I have a question, particularly for us that are in this house. We come to Zion City Fellowship. Many of us, or let me say some of us, come to SPCC, and we hear the distilled word of God, precise instructions, spot on to take us into perfection and becoming more like Jesus. So I want to ask that I don't even know how to frame my question, but the main thing is, one is hearing these things, one desires to practice it, one is repenting every time the word is preached with a determination to practice, but one doesn't find oneself practicing it. Let me stop saying one. I don't find myself practicing it as much as I should. So I know you don't know me perfectly. You may not be able to say this is it, but this is that. But what do you think causes it, or what can one do to stop falling into that cycle of I want to, but I find myself not doing every service? I get the word of God, it's like God is circumcising my heart. Then I get Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm like, oh my God, Pastor actually preached this thing and I'm not practicing.
Hey, well, I mean, you go back to what I said. If we first want to see what's causing it, this what's causing it is the sin nature. Do you understand? So don't condemn yourself. Just know that that's your number one enemy. You understand? And the sin nature is, that thing is instilled in genes, in nature. That's why even in a place, David says, don't remember the sins of my youth. And when I say don't remember the sins of my youth, when I pray for myself, I'm not just talking about the sins that I committed when I was a youth. I'm also talking about the sins in the gene that can manifest in your children. Do you understand? The sins of the youth. That way, when Paul was writing, he said youthful lust. So, you see, first and foremost, forgive yourself. Love yourself. Never give up on yourself. It's not, like Paul said, it's not you that is doing, but the sin that is inside you. So, it is that sin you must condemn and hate. There's a journey in hating sin, and there's a journey in loving righteousness. I won't tell you that it's overnight. That would be unfair. That would be a lie. But to stick and love sin and not begin to return, the Bible says in the book of Joel, it says return and keep returning, repent and keep repenting. So it is a continuous thing that you must continue to do. It's like I was saying about the sin, it's like a nature. Is I don't know whether you've seen those kind of plants that you try and pull it, the thing no go pull. You now have to start digging around it, and you now start seeing that the root has gone entrenched. deep into the soil. And you won't just want to cut it so it doesn't still leave some roots. You understand? So what you continue to do, you continue to wash yourself. The instruction that Naomi gave, and which, let's be honest about it and talk about it. When you talk about that instruction on the path to life, because I see from what you're saying, I see the sin nature causing weakness. Bible says that the Holy Spirit will help us in our weaknesses. So the weaknesses caused by the sin nature is there. And you must know that specific place where you're having weaknesses. It might be in prayers, it might be in Bible reading. You might have to start targeting it deliberately and intentionally, which I think many times we don't do. We are spreading bullets and bombs, general bombs all around, and sometimes the bomb is getting some things, but it's also missing some specifics. And now you know where the specific is, and you need to start praying about it and talking to God about it. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so that you can begin to uproot it and deal with it. And so that's where the Pauline prayers also comes, where it says, Father, strengthen me. So really, if you keep on the path of life, don't let me lie to you. One, you see yourself loving yourself. You must love yourself, forgive yourself, bear with yourself, be patient with yourself. You understand what you're saying? Those same love that you want to extend to other human beings, extend to yourself first in this situation. Now, I'm not saying you should be lazy and love sin, because love does not love sin. It hates sin and loves righteousness. So you must keep applying that ointment to yourself, because it's a wound caused by the sin nature in your heart. It's a weakness caused by the sin nature in our souls, in our bodies. And so you must keep applying the ointment of love, of forgiveness, of never giving up, of believing the best for yourself, to yourself, which the enemy doesn't want you to believe. The enemy wants you to be downtrodden, wants you to have low self-esteem and depressed, and it comes in your voice. And so when it comes in your voice, you think it is you that is talking to you, but the enemy is actually fanning the flame. That's what I'm saying. Satan uses the sin nature. It's like venom. I just can't seem to forget it in Marvel. Venom is sticky. Venom is attractive. It's attractive because it also has power, you know, but the person starts to misbehave. Do you understand what I'm saying? But that's how it is. It's sticky. And so if you don't capture it and hold it down, the thing is like glue. And once it gets a hold, it latches and starts misbehaving. And so what you need to do is you need to keep praying, wash yourself, applying the ointment, never giving up on yourself, believing the best of yourself, doing the necessary. Ruth did all. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like we heard, it's not might not be perfect obedience, but at least it's complete obedience. And even your complete obedience might be a journey. But as you are going further, as you are moving forward, you'll be hearing people, it might be you that you just might be just spiritual, supernatural healing and help. It might be divine. Somebody will come around or you listen to something that will just strengthen you. You might just find a scripture, or it might just be the thing that you've been digging. Suddenly, one day, it's just uprooted. So what I'll just encourage is continue. Those that continue the word, they will know what? The truth. And the what? The truth will set them free. So the first thing is, hope for the best. Continue. Continue to practice what you're hearing. And where you need to be specific and intentional and deliberate about that particular matter, and that particular issue, in the place of prayer, in the place of praise, in the place of worship, attack that thing. Dedicate the word. You know, find out solution to that thing. Pray in the spirit about that thing. Trust me, the wisdom will come. The strength will come. It's going to be gradual, but it's going to be sudden that God will take you out. Now, two Boazes. Oh, yeah. Two guys.
Praise God. Praise God. So my question is based on Oprah, the meaning of Oprah, which means to turn back. So is it because the name means turn back? Is it like, because I know that names actually play some significant
excellence,
role in
yeah.
someone's life. So is it because of the name turn back that made that turn back? Which was
no, God does not predestine your life. He has predestined us to be conformed to Jesus Christ. Observe what I said. He can fulfill it two ways. She could have turned her back on Moab, and today would have said, Oprah. Wouldn't have said, like, it's like telling you Judas. If you name your name Judas, you change your name to Judas. But you know what Judas means? Judas means praise. Judas actually means praise. So you can have a good name and have a bad destiny. And you might even have a bad destiny like Jabez and end up a good person. So really it's the heart, and God shows himself strong on the behalf. There are people, what men have said about you is not what men have said. It's not your destiny, it's what God has said. So even if the Orpah was a curse for her, God could have turned around by the name. See, Ruth, you know what Ruth means? Ruth means friend. Yet in the New Testament, right, our friendship with the world is adultery, is enmity with God. So if she turned back to what I've been saying today with our big mouth, that, you know, Ruth was a friend of the world, though. That's how we judge many people many times. And so that name in Christ, by the time Christ touches your life, it turns, where men have said there's a curse, now you begin to say there's a lifting up. Where they say there's a curse, you will say there's a blessing. I listen to me. Where they say there's a Jabez, you can see what happens to him. But they say there's a Jacob, it turns around. You see all these bad boys, bad girls turn around, and you see some good names. Names like Ahithophel, you now see end up in bad ways. Solomon is a good name, but this guy's personal destiny was nothing to write home about, fulfilling it. I listen to me. So really, it's twofold. That is a two-edged sword. She could have fulfilled it either way, turning her back on Moab and fulfilling purpose and destiny of marrying Boaz or the other chap, who also today we don't know his name. Ruth, because upper no do what she's supposed to do. So the guy's name not even enter Bible. You can imagine. So you can imagine some people mismarrying, unmarrying, not marrying, dismarrying, and then destiny just changes like that. And we don't know the guy for all eternity. And we're supposed to know him. But the guy, I don't know what happened to the guy. They say he's a lady. Yeah, so you understand what I'm saying? It is what the word says and how the word can help you transform, conform. By the time you start conforming to his image, you start seeing what had been miswritten or the handwriting on the world, he blots it out and rewrites. Do you understand? Your destiny. Most important, to marry him, to be conformed to his image. That's his own purpose. That's why there are guys in India, there are guys in Afghanistan, Pakistan, Sakasistan, all this kind. There are guys that might still be idol worshippers, that they have a hunger for the true God. They just don't know. They're just in the wrong place. And when the revival breaks, you see that this is what we've been looking for. This is our God. We have waited for him. And their name turns around overnight. Their character, their nature, their life, their destiny turns around overnight, because everybody's destiny is to be conformed to the image of Christ. Are you listening to me? So it's not about the name that you've been named. You might be given the best name and have the worst destiny. And you might be given the best name, worst name, and have the best destiny. Lucifer is a good name, but nobody will call their child Lucifer. Are you listening to me? Okay, so one last question. I want a man.
Praise God.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Praise
David.
God.
Go on.
Praise God. Okay, since we have to talk about Boaz. Okay, I think a few things I picked from Boaz's life was, one, I think Boaz was someone that had actually been working in revelation knowledge. So I think his first contact with Ruth was, he was able to see through, and he knew that this lady was different. Okay, both parts, let me put it that way. So, and someone like Boaz, and also, like I said, they have been working in revelation knowledge, they have been praying the Pauline prayers,
exactly, talk to me.
Eyes of understanding, they have been praying those things like Boaz. And so, when he met Boaz, he was able to discern. When he met
Ruth,
he was able to discern by revelation that okay, this person is different. And also, another thing is that Boaz was someone that already perfecting love. So, when he met
Ruth,
right? So he was very, very kind to her. Like, that was kind of a weird care he gave to Ruth, because he said that she should not go to another man's, other people's feet and all of that. And also, I think one of the things you said too was that by revelation, he was able to obey instructions. Like, let me use the word now. He obeyed.
Fulfilled all righteousness.
Yeah, fulfilled all righteousness. He gave some prophetic instruction. He said he gave her six. To the one, like some of the things are not just casual. He could have given three, like giving four, but these were prophetic things, because it was someone that was already walking in the will of God. He was also growing in love and growing in revelation.
That's very good. So we can end with that. You see, that's the summary of this is, guys, keep to the path of life. Everything that is in that instruction is the Naomic, if I can put that, Holy Spirit through Naomic distilled instruction that will get you close to Boaz. Boaz could have castigated the girl. Can they amount to anything? Bad girl. You remember their history? you know, is, I mean, but because of love, because Boaz is a kind of Christ one, again, like you're saying again, a person growing up to, the Bible says, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, speaking the truth in love, you know, so he was speaking the word, praying the Pauline prayers, praying in tongues, speaking the truth, the Holy Spirit is truth, you know, speaking the word, and then he was walking in love. That's why he wasn't blinded by her history and where she was coming from. He saw through, you know, and again, he wasn't stingy. He wasn't saying, don't go to other farm, other field, because he's greedy. He was only meaning her good. He wasn't even saying he was going to marry her. No, because you know how I know he wasn't going to marry her? Because ideally, he wasn't going to be the one to marry her. That's why he said, the lady said, ah, my mother-in-law said I should do this. The guy said, ah, I'm glad you didn't go to the young guys. I'm not saying that you should. I'm not speaking again. I'm just saying that, you see, it's just a lesson for us as young guys to start thinking maturely. Do you understand? You can be young but have the maturity of an ancient. He said that my wisdom is better than the wisdom of the ancients. Do you understand? You can have revelation knowledge. Even the Bible says about Job, he said that in the gates that even elders stand up for him. So you can be a young chap, and the kind of wisdom you are getting, even pastors are wondering, come, where are you getting this kind of thing from? What do you know? You're not even a pastor. Do you go to any Bible school? Say no. How are you getting understanding like this greater than the ancients? Not just spiritual, but even in your class. You understand what I'm saying? Or in life. Are we together? And so you can have the wisdom of the ancients because you are in relationship and fellowship with the Father, with the Holy Spirit, with the Father of lights. And again, when it was even, they had said that you are kinsman redeemer. You know what he said? He said there's another person. If the guy was a bad guy, at Bethesda, this young girl, pretty thing. Opportunity. He didn't use that. He said that there is another guy. Maybe he was supposed to be for upper self. Sure you get. But he said that there's another guy. So when they get to that other guy, Koloruko, it's so bad. You know? Ruth, there are some, look, just pray that your path doesn't cross with the wrong person. Maybe that's the person that Ruth was even supposed to marry, but the guy was not responsible and reasonable, I'm sorry to say. You know, because he doesn't want the girl. He said, there's a land of the guy that you have to collect to. But the guy said, yes, yes, I want the land. But then you have to collect the girl of the lost, of the dead. The guy said, no, I don't want. That's how Boaz got Ruth and the land and the inheritance. So he didn't want it. Haste, again, haste is not a virtue. He that maketh haste shall not be innocent, and then he that trusteth will not make haste. So people that are getting to relationships and doing things out of haste and out of impatience, when they can chill in God, let me tell you, don't let me say it's not well with you. I'm just trying to say that I cannot guarantee. That's like Boaz, if it was a bad boy, his name was bad of ancient of Zeus. You know, if we had a name for him like that, then the guy would have said, calculated, reasoned, opportunity, my lady. Girl, the bad, could the bad do? You know, he had seen, fast. As if he's playing football. But then, he didn't do that. If she goes, she goes. God will raise up another one. You know what I'm saying? Oh, how wonderful it would be for her if she, this Ms. Eleyi takes advantage, this uses opportunity. Well, Eleyi did Eleyi, sadly. And God said, hey, look, you're the one that deserves it. He rerouted her destiny to her, and she gave birth to the right guy and the right destiny. So you understand what I'm saying? So keeping to the path of life, those instructions that we've talked about, if you look at it, the reality in the New Testament is us that they are talking to. This story is talking to us, you know, and the instructions have been laid down. Worship is there, lying down is there. Uncovering his feet, Bible reading, praying in the Spirit is there, the way he prays. You know, Pauline prayers is there to get revelation, you know, and see through. Perfecting love, confessing love is there, you know, which is the way of excellence. Putting on the love, put on love, put on the best garments. Watching and praying always. You're watching, you're praying, you're checking the guy. You're marking the man. That's watching and praying. Are we together? It's all there. Let's bow our heads as we pray. And then at the end, we just talk about tomorrow. Father, we just thank you so much for your mercies. Thank you for what you heard. Thank you for your presence, humility. Thank you for wisdom and revelation. Thank you for the undiluted word. Thank you for using and helping us, Lord, to receive your word, to hear the word. And most importantly, we ask for humility and grace that will be doers of the work and not hearers only in Jesus' name. It's not the hearers that are blessed, it's the doers. And so we ask, Lord, that you crown these efforts of even coming and listening and hearing, Lord God, with grace. Lord, upon our hearts, strengthening our hearts. Lord, uprooting infirmities. Holy Spirit, we cry for mercy and help. You strengthen us against our infirmities. Help us to overcome, to prevail, to triumph. Even like Ruth, the seemingly least likely to succeed and triumph. She triumphed by your mercy and by your grace, by obeying instructions, distilled instructions, Lord, undiluted word of God, and by the power and strength of the Holy Spirit, she marked him, she fellowshiped with him, she understood him, she walked with him, she walked in his path, and most of all, she knew him, Lord God, and reproduced and birthed the nature of Christ in her soul, in her body, in her circumstances, in her lineage, in her destiny, to fulfill purpose and destiny as a virtuous woman. Lord, we cry out for these same things. Lord, for each and every one of us that are here, those that are listening on site, those that will be listening online, those that are listening online, those that will be listening later, as we continue to hear that, you will reproduce this nature in our souls and our flesh to the praise and glory of your name, to do the works that Jesus did and greater. In just, let's just pray in the Spirit. Thank you, Father Bajaka. Thank you, Lord Joseph Dreliski. Thank you, Lord Holy Spirit, for Araskaya. Thank you, Father Bajen Dreliski. Roka Dreliski. Lift to Masaya. Mercy, Dreliska. Grace and Shah. Shelter, Maskaya. Brick to the Ramazaka. In Jesus' name, cast out every spirit of infirmity, fear, laziness, weakness, worry, anxiety, lack, sickness, by whatever they are called, seeking to hinder us from walking in this path of life. We cast you out. We destroy works. We resist. We bind you. We loose the angels to minister for us. God's perfect will. In Jesus' name, amen.